August 10th, 2005, item number 73. Today's guests are Greg and Chris from Cruise Box.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into our interview with Greg and Chris from Cruise Box, a couple quick news and notes. First, nothing wrong with my recording equipment. I just kind of lost my voice, so if my voice sounds different than normal, it's not that I changed anything. It's just that I think allergies or something, but my voice is just is toast the last couple days. This Friday, August 12th, on the Small World Podcast at smallworldpodcast.com, Bazooka Joe will be interviewing GarageBand.com CEO. So if you're interested in hearing what's going on at GarageBand.com, I recommend you check out Bazooka Joe's interview with their CEO. This Saturday, August 14th, 4 p.m., Tom Foolery's on the Plaza in Kansas City. We'll have our monthly Kansas City Podcasters Meetup. So if you are in the Kansas City area and listening to podcasts or doing a podcast, please come on down. We'd love to see you. And also, if you're in the Kansas City area, please check out the latest Pitch Weekly for August 10th. There is an article in there on podcasting. Well, that's going to do it on the news and notes. Today, we're interviewing Greg and Chris from Cruise Box. If you're not familiar with Cruise Box, they are the band that recorded that podcast song. If you're not familiar with that song, don't worry. We're going to play it right now. After the song, we'll get into the interview with Greg and Chris. Here we go.
Do you remember way back last summer when mainstream radio was such a freaking bummer? Nothing too funny, clear channel radio, did it for the money, but somebody heard the call, now you can have it all, I heard it on a podcast, rocking freaking radio, you want it, you got it, just download it and put it on a podcast, no one's gonna stop you, tell the FCC to stick it, kick it, the revolution. First computer, that piece of junk was like a freaking Roto-Rooter. Now we've got Wi-Fi, downloading files fast, listening to everyone who's ever done a podcast. It's history, now you see each and every nation. Radio has got to go, it's our emancipation. Play that song, sing along, mash it up and mix it. Radio is freaking loads of Adam Curry fixed it.
Greg and Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Now start you out with the first question I think you pretty much know, and that is, what was your first computer?
Atari 520ST, brother, and it was a MIDI burning smoking machine. I took it to a local shop and I had it hot rodded to 1040ST specs. It was smoking.
And what about Chris? What was Chris's first computer?
My first box was a Mac Classic. Yeah, it was just, you know, a little small grayscale machine with about 512 of memory and very small hard drive. Now, I can't even remember how small it's so small, minuscule.
A question I have to ask. Second stanza, do you remember your first computer? From a vanity point of view, was that influenced by my podcast at all?
Oh, gosh, yes. Are you kidding?
Wait a minute.
This is a much better question for the guy that wrote the lyric.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I had just really gotten into podcasting about 6 weeks ago. I'm a late adopter, but I'm a huge evangelizer, as you know. And yours was one of the first podcasts I listened to the first day I started downloading shows. And I was just enamored at the whole process of setting the interviews up by going through your litany of questions. And so needless to say, that question about your first computer stuck in mind. So when it hit me to write a song about podcasting, I knew I was going to use that line.
Well, thank you. I am very humbled by you, by your inclusion of that in there. When I heard the line, I was like, oh, it's just a coincidence. And a couple other people send me emails, said, I think that's really referenced to you. I go, no, it's not.
Rob, the first few days the song was out, of course, we were all excited about it, and we were hoping to get lots and lots of email, people saying, good song, bad song, at least heard the song. Let me tell you what, like 10% of the emails that came in the first couple of days were people asking, hey, is that about Rob? Is that about 411? You listen to his show? So it was very cool.
Well, that makes me feel good. Now, I was looking on your website, and I noticed that you did a call out to some podcasters, and in there you mentioned Corby. Corby from Twisted Pickle?
Yeah.
Corby is going to be very happy to know that. So he loves the song. I was talking to him earlier, and I said to Corby, I go, Corby, did you see this on their website? And he's like, he hadn't seen it. And I'm like,
oh, man.
I go, you got to see this. I go, it's got to be you, Corby. I know it's you.
How many Corbys would there be out there in the podcasting world?
That's exactly what I said.
That's right.
So I said, I told him I would ask and have that in the interview when I did the interview. So he was like all stoked. So he's going to be very happy to hear that.
Absolutely.
I'll go ahead into the next question, and that will lead us into, what was your first podcast you listened to?
First podcast was a DSC. Just because, you know, I knew the Curry name, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, that's the MTV guy. Let me check out what's going down. And I didn't really know at the time even what his role in all of this was. Needless to say, I was blown away.
Well, he loves the song. I mean, he plays it quite a bit.
I know. It's just amazing, isn't it?
What podcasts are you listening to on a regular basis?
Dude, I'm listening to the 411. Are you crazy? I listen daily, and I take copious notes. It's one of the things that has helped educate myself and the guys in the group as to what's going down in podcasting and how we can actually, you know, get into it with our own music. So that's first and foremost. Other than that, I'm listening to Don and Drew. I still think they're funny. The simple pare down way they present their show and just kind of the raucous sense of humor that they have. I don't know. I just think it speaks something about the pirate nature of the early days of podcasting. And you know, that's crazy to think about the early days of podcasting, because that was what, man, just a couple of weeks ago. Wasn't?
Yeah, only 10 months ago, this thing's been, you know, off the ground. 11 months, getting on 11 months now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Of course, I still listen to the DSC. I think Trucker Tom's kind of interesting. His little sound seeing forays across the country in his 18-wheeler. I think that's kind of an interesting deal. Jawbone Radio, that's another one of my favorites. Yeah, I think
Lennon Norton. Yep.
They've got it going on, man. And that's a very fun show to listen to. And I'm also just kind of interested in scanning around, going through the directories and listening to some of the morning radio shows from the terrestrial stations, you know, where they've produced their podcasts. Because I think it's kind of a cool thing that podcasting has enough cachet that terrestrial radio has to kind of come and match our format. It's cool.
What inspired you to write the song?
I'd just been listening to podcasts for a couple of days when I first wrote the song. In fact, I wrote the song on July 7th. And of course, everybody remembers that day because that was the day of that horrible explosion in London. I happened to have been in a late night session the night before on the 6th and had slept in way late the next day, didn't get up and turn on the morning news. So I didn't even know what was going on in the world, because I can assure you I wouldn't have been in the mood to write any kind of a song, you know, much less a podcasting song that day. But anyway, I had a little project going. I was actually spray painting some studio racks for my gear out in the front lawn. I don't know. Maybe it was the paint fumes. Maybe it was just my exposure to all the podcasts. broadcasting songs I've been listening to for the last 48 hours. But all of a sudden, I'm shaking the can, and the rhythm I've got going from the spray paint can is getting an idea in my brain, and I just kind of start belting out this song. And I ran upstairs in the studio real quick, and I started rolling the computer, and just in real time, just kind of spit it out. Man, it just kind of came out. I was just so stoked. I couldn't believe what was going on in podcasting. It blew me away.
What is your background in music?
Musical-wise, I've just kind of been known around Oklahoma City as the gig warrior for years. A guy coined that phrase. He looked at me and he said, "You are a gig warrior." But I left Oklahoma City and went to Nashville and did kind of the mercenary thing. I hooked up with some major artists, everyone from Reba to Sarah Evans, Kenny Rogers, some really wild stuff. But been all over the world playing music and making records, and I finally decided I'd had enough of the mess and moved back to Oklahoma City. And, you know, I find Gary had just moved back, and he calls me up with this song idea, and I said, "Oh, this is great. So we got to get together and do this." So I called up a couple buddies that play with me. We showed up at my house, and I didn't show anybody anything. I didn't even listen to his deal until we started recording, and I listened to it once, and I just kind of went, "Hey, we got to do this track." Came up with some stuff right on the spot, so everything was very spur of the moment. I was trying to thrive on that vital energy that is podcasting. You know, it's like you guys get up there every day, and it's bam, the red light's on, and you're going, "Okay, I got to come up with some stuff." Well, that's kind of the way we approached that song, and it seemed to work out really well.
Oh, it's a great song, catchy tune, great lyrics.
I try to keep things simple so that, you know, so you can get ideas done that have some impact. Sometimes people get caught up in trying to be too cool or one genre or the other. And that's what's exciting about podcasting is now I don't have to worry about that. I can just go in and go, bam, you know, whatever comes out. You know, it can be bad, good, but if it's got the energy and it's happening, you know, there's a market for it. People want to listen.
Beyond that podcast song, what are some of the other things that you have planned in the podcasting community?
Other than just the song itself, well, first of all, would be the broadcast idea that we were talking about earlier, and I'll go ahead and shed some light on that, although it's still kind of top secret from our secret Audiopium studios. We're working on a show that really ties in just great with what's been going on with the song on a podcast, and it would be somewhat of an American Idol-ish sort of thing, but with a fresh new twist. We would be developing and presenting some musical tracks, and we're looking for some cool people to provide us with some fresh takes on vocals, maybe do some co-songwriting with us, and have a show that would be a real partnership with our listening audience. Not just us presenting our music to them, but in a way sort of collaborating together. That's the nature of the whole podcast community, and we're real excited about that idea. So,
if someone's listening right now and they're interested in contacting you about that, how should they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can go ahead and reach us through our studio website. That's audiopium.com, AUDIOPIUM, audiopium.com. You'll find an email link there. Of course, you can always go to our band website, thatpodcastsong.com, and you'll find email links there as well.
You mentioned Audiopium, and I was looking at the website. Explain what this is and what you're planning on doing here.
One of the big things to happen in podcasting in its short life was the release of Apple 4.9, and what we saw overnight with all these new subscribers was a paradigm shift in the listening audience of podcasting. And what we saw was the early adopting pioneer fathers of the podcasting world, so to speak. The shows that were always ranked the very highest, all of a sudden there were all these kind of mainstream shows that came down from networks that people who didn't really know about podcasting to begin with, when they logged on through the Apple site, they started subscribing to those, and it kind of mainstreamed things overnight. That's kind of good and that's kind of bad. Let's not worry about the bad part. Let's talk about the good part. And there are so many opportunities now that people are beginning to really glom onto what podcasting is about. So many opportunities for indie podcasters to monetize and begin to make some money off of their broadcasts if that's something that they want to do. But we recognize from having put the work in on the record that we did and the feedback we've gotten from people in the podcasting community, listeners in general, and also people at record distributors and labels, that the quality of the recording that we did, the quality recording that Chris engineered and produced at his studio, is what makes that record work. So we know that quality production counts. If indie podcasters, Rob, are going to be able to compete with the big guys, if they're going to be able to compete with the networks and with people who have lots of money to back their shows, they're going to have to present a product, a podcast product that has a professional package to it. It's got to have great openers and closers. It's got to have a great theme. It's got to have great announcers. They've got to have an excellent promotional package, whether it starts with their graphic look, their logo, their website, their media kit. And we have the expertise to be able to provide that. So what we've started is our online virtual studio, where we can help people develop their podcast. For instance, if somebody can just go ahead and get their idea down and get their narration part down, they can send us the MP3 and we can package the whole show and send it up. We have the facilities to provide storage and networking. Of course, graphic artists and writers to help develop programming. And we're just really excited about helping people package their podcast in a professional way and to continue to elevate the indie element of podcasting so that one day soon there really won't be a demarcation. It's all professional because it's all broadcasting.
So are there any other podcasting songs in the works?
Yeah, we've got three things in the can right now that are they're almost done. They've got a few more, you know, tweaks that I want to do. But yeah, we got lots of stuff, and we've been really working hard this week to try to get some more stuff out. I'm really interested in trying to open up some topics a little more controversial, say eminent domain, you know, a few things that the mainstream media kind of just let slip by.
Well, I went on a big rant about eminent domain with skepticality.
That's kind of one topic we're going to bang on. And then we're going to bang on the record companies. We're going to bang on network radio because, you know, these folks are responsible for the mess that radio's in. Who listens to radio anymore? Gosh, man, you turn that stuff on and it's like, oh my God, where's my Prozac? Can't maintain. So we're going to slam radio. We're having some big fun, and we're going to shake it up musically too. We're going to do things that don't sound so mainstream. The podcast song, we tried to keep it pretty mainstream so we'd have a large audience, but we're going to segue out and stretch out musically too, because one reason, because we can, and another reason is because, you know, people need to hear different kinds of music. They need to be aware that there's, you know, in a garden, there's many types of flowers to choose from. And once again, record companies, mainstream radio has totally avoided, just turned their back on music in general. What you're hearing is advertising. You're hearing finely honed, tuned. I mean, these people don't even, half these people can't even sing. You know, they go in there with a computer and, you know, they go in and kind of warble out a halfway shaky track, and then they hire a guy like me to come in and edit and make it sound good. And, you know, it's unbelievable. If you took some of these people and put them on a microphone, some of these major, major stars, you'd throw up. I mean, you'd just go, they can't. How did they do this? You know, that's another thing we're kind of pissed off at. And I can assure you, we have editing in our music. We're not going to the point that it's still about performance, about getting a good track, and we're not tuning, or we're cutting and pasting, because that, I love that part of the picture, which is, you know, podcasting, mash it, mix it, do the whole deal, you know. That's beautiful. So we're creating stuff that can be done very easily for people, so they can do their own mix on the thing.
Here's an idea I'd like to throw out to you, a mashup of your song and Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, yeah. That would be sweet. You hear that, folks? Do it. Do it. We'll play it. You do it.
Yeah, if anybody does a mashup of, you know, Video Killed the Radio Star and that podcast song, I definitely will play it on the podcast. What's your favorite microphone of choice?
For recording music, I'm real big on the large diaphragm condensers. I don't think anything has really changed since the 50s in microphones. I like, there's a lot of great deals out there now that that you can get for broadcasting that will be great mic for vocals, drums, anything you want to put on it. Rode makes one. They're an Australian company. And now, you know, a guy like an indie podcaster for $200 can buy one of the world's quietest microphones. I mean, it's unbelievable. The anniversary, the NT1A, and what they did was they took all the pad and the pattern and all that stuff off the mic. They took all that circuitry out of there, so the noise went the noise is gone. You basically have a diaphragm and a connector, and you hook up phantom power to it, and you've got something that's world class. You know, but then, you know, the secret next is to get some kind of a really great tube preamp or, you know, mic preamp. Because most of these mixers are okay that you can get, but if you want something that's going to stand up to scrutiny nationally, you got to get some, you know, a Universal Audio or some kind of real pro quality. PreSonus makes some great ones. There's all sorts of companies out there, but you got to spend some bucks on that. I haven't found a cheap one yet, but I'll keep looking and get back with you.
Chris and Greg, any last thoughts? Anything else you want to share with us before we head out?
Hey, thanks for the interview, man. We just want to thank everybody for supporting this record. We have gotten airplay. We have gotten podcast play. We have gotten emails from virtually every country on the face of the earth. I have heard intros for this song, Rob, in Russian and Chinese and Japanese and Spanish and French, Italian, German. It's just amazing how we hit a nerve. And I just want to like take one step back and just say, you know, we're really humbled by people's response to this. And I think it was just an idea whose time had come. We're just channeling what's already out there. It's the people in podcasting that made this song happen. We're just lucky to be the slave of this song and drive it forward, man. Just massive thanks to everybody supporting us.
Well, hey, thank you for putting an anthem on this genre. Greg and Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks. We really enjoyed it.
Well, that concludes our interview with Greg and Chris from Cruisebox. You can find that podcast song at thatpodcastsong.com. So go over there and check it out. I should point out the version of the song I played was their squeaky clean version for our G-rated podcast, but there is a PG-17 version, which is much cooler. So go ahead over there and check that out. Again, Greg and Chris, thanks so much for coming on the show. It was a blast talking to you. At the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo for CC Chapman and the Accident Hash podcast. He's got a new promo out. So if you're into music, which if you're listening to this interview, chances are you are, this is a good PodSafe music podcast. And speaking of promos, if you have a promo you'd like me to play on the show, please send promos to podcast411@gmail.com. Love to get those promos. If you have tech tips or any other audio comments you'd like to get played on the show, please send them also to podcast411@gmail.com. Well, that's going to do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, with Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
In a world where corporate disc jockeys could care less about the music they play, where your local radio station plays more ads than actual songs, now you have a choice. Join CC Chapman as he plays nothing but the best in PodSafe music. That's right, folks. Music is back on the air at AccidentHash.com.